Now, you already know the title this morning. It's right there on the screen. And there are more than one way to prosper. I hope you know that. I know when people think of the word prosper, they think, oh boy, money, property, a nicer car, put my kids through college, and all of those things. Now, some of those things are fine if they are gifts from the Lord and they are used for His glory and so forth. But that's not all we're going to think about today. We want to look at one verse. And actually, we're going to look at half of that verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Verse 3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. I think you can figure out that he was 68 when he died. He did not finish well, but he started well. In verse 5, it says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions of God. Now you can read Zechariah. Zechariah's got 14 chapters, and it's next to the last book of the Old Testament. But then it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. We're going to talk today about three things that are in that statement. We're going to talk about sought, we're going to talk about the Lord, and we're going to talk about prosper or prosperity. As long as he sought the Lord, how do you seek the Lord? That's a question we're going to look at for a few moments. How do we seek the Lord? How do you seek God, folks? Well, let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And many of us learned this verse years ago. And some of us are learning this verse now. And I feel that it is most unfortunate in the way that they rearranged the verse in the New King James from the way it was in the Old King James. In the Old King James, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The New King James says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. Now, there's nothing wrong with that statement, but you cannot be diligent to present yourself unto God unless you learn how to read God's word and how to meditate upon it and how to study it. And we use the Old King James wording with our Awana group. The theme of Awana is study to show yourself approved unto God. That's where the phrase Awana comes from. It's an aneurysm. Approved workers are not ashamed. That's what Awana stands for. Approved workers are not ashamed. Based on 2 Timothy 2:15. You understand that the rightly dividing the word of truth is a very important key. There's a lot of people that are mixed up in what they understand about God's word because they don't read it and because they don't compare scripture with scripture. And they are easily led astray. Like one guy was quoted as saying, I read the Bible once, as if it was a novel or a suspense thriller or something, and once you've read it, you put it on the shelf or you give it away and go get another book. But that's not what you do with the Bible. Now, some people are speed readers. They rip through the Word of God 100 miles an hour. I can't speed read, number one. And number two, if I could, that's not what you do with the book. Not with this book. It's okay with any other book. It's okay with a newspaper. But in this book, you meditate. You think about what each word says, what each word means. So he sought the Lord. And how do you seek God? Number one, in his word. Number two, with all your heart. Now we're going to go back to Deuteronomy, the other end of your Bible. Book number five. Book number five, Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. It's just before Joshua. Deuteronomy 4. And many of you will say, oh, I know that verse. Because it's also in Matthew. Only take heed to yourselves, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Many of us have grandchildren. You need to be praying for their salvation. You need to be encouraging them every time you see them. You need to ask questions, and you need to kindly draw them out and keep them looking towards the Lord. Maybe their parents are saved, maybe their parents aren't. But you as a grandparent are responsible for your grandchildren's spiritual condition, whether or not their parents are. And then 2 Chronicles again, chapter 15 and verse 2. Oh, you want me to put them up there, don't you? All right. There we are. 2 Chronicles. And you'll get there just as quick as I can. 15:2. Hear me. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. Do you see the importance of this? The Lord is with you while you're with him. You say, well, God is always with me. In one sense, yes, but in another sense, no. There's a verse in a psalm that says that the Lord will not hear you if you have iniquity in your heart. You get your heart confessed and cleaned up, and then the Lord is with you. The Lord is involved with you. The peace of God rules in your heart at those times. Conviction rules in your heart when you're not living the way you ought to. How do I know that? John 16 says that. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I believe that's verse 8 of John chapter 14. Okay, the third way that you seek God is in prayer. Talk to God. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Talk to God like he's your big brother right beside you. Or he's your father. Oh, he is my father, isn't he? Our Father, who art in heaven, holy, hallowed is thy name. And talk to God. And as you seek, you talk to God. Now, when to seek? That's the next question. When to seek? When are you going to seek God? Well, Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let us return to him. You get the picture? We can wander away from the Lord. And he lets us go so far. And for some of us, and in some occasions, he's got a short leash. Other times, he's got a long leash. But the point is, if you're a true child of God, God's got a leash on you. And you get so far, and God goes, and in terms of horses, you pull back on the reins, and the horse is supposed to come to a stop. Amen? I'm not a horseman, but I have ridden once or twice in my life. almost got killed once, but look over at verse 9 of chapter 16. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. That's a point we want to make, isn't it? Seek the Lord at all times. Proverbs 63, and I'm not going to look at all these verses, but I want you to see they tell us that at all times. Seek the Lord in times of sorrow. You ever have a broken heart? A broken relationship, a broken friendship, a broken marriage? Children that have fanned their nose at God in you and gone out to live in sin. There are a lot of things. Maybe a loved one's just died. You've got a broken heart. Some of you have lost jobs. That breaks your heart. Not just because of the finance, but because you feel like you're not wanted. You're not worth it. Many things that bring sorrow to our heart, but we need to seek the Lord. Now, sometimes we're happy. Don't you turn away from God when he blesses you. He'll take the blessing away. Amen. He might even give you a good licking, a spanking, chastening. Not punishment. Punishment's for sinners. For Christians, for children of God, we get a spanking. We get a chastening. Sometimes it's verbal rebuke from the Word of God that brings you up short. Sometimes it's an event that happens in your life. At times of trouble, seek the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. There's a lot of interpretations of this. From whence cometh my help? Does your help come from the hills? No. So I think that's a question. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? When you lift up your eyes to the hills, what might you see? The enemy army coming at you. But you know what? You turn and cry out to God. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, from Jehovah, who made the heaven and earth. Now, if he's big enough to make the heaven and earth, and he's smart enough to make you and me, then don't you think he's trusting or trustable in times of trouble? We need to pray to him. And then in times of praise and thanksgiving, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Songs are wonderful things, folks. Your hymn book is, next to your Bible, your hymn book's the most important thing that you could own or use. And then we're to seek God at his throne. Where do you go? Where can I go but to the Lord? And at the throne. And you can go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, which tells us that Jesus is our high priest. He's our mediator. We're to come unto him in prayer. We're to make our petitions known unto him. All right, the second thing I want you to notice this morning. Now, you'll notice that I emphasized the word sought at the top of the slide. The next one I want you to look at is the Lord. He sought the Lord. And that's capital letters, so that's Jehovah. Now, let's have a little quick lesson on the Lord. All right? Now, sometimes in your Bible, you'll see Lord spelt with small letters, with small case. That is a translation then from the Hebrew word Adonai or Adonai. And that means master, ruler. In the New Testament, it's from the word Kyrios, which means the same thing, master or ruler. But the one that is used here is spelt with all capitals. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Whenever you see that spelling of the Lord, then you know that's from Jehovah. And then there is the word God, which is the translation from Elohim. Now, the interesting thing is that in Hebrew, I am is plural. It's like putting an S on our words. So the very name of God, Elohim, is plural. You say, wait a minute, there's only one God. Yes, there's only one God, but remember, he's in how many persons? Three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So Jehovah, or you might say Yahweh, and Yahweh and Jehovah are the same thing. It's talking about the eternal God for Jehovah. He's eternal. But with God, Elohim, that means he's God Almighty, speaking of his great power and awesomeness. When we think of the word Lord, we think of Jehovah, we think of God being gracious, God being loving, God being beneficial to us, or benevolent, giving us what we don't deserve, just, righteous, and the thing we often need is what? Forgiveness, forgiveness. God forgives, doesn't he? And I'm so glad he does. I lean upon his forgiveness often. The source of all blessing, that's God. Remember? Means almighty. It means creator, but also means sustainer. God sustains. What keeps your body glued together? Why don't the trillions of cells in your body fall apart, unhook, and then you'd be nothing, right? Well, over in Colossians chapter 1, it says that the Jehovah, Jesus, is the glue that holds us together. Interesting, isn't it? And many of you have seen the Giglio explanation with the fact that the glue cell in your body that holds the things together called laminin is a cross-shaped cell that sticks us together. We're stuck together by the cross, by God's marvelous design. Now, he's the source of all blessing, but he's also the answer of all prayer. Someone said, what is the what's the telephone number of God? Well, it's Jeremiah 33:3, isn't it? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Have you noticed that God is able to give miracles? He's still in the miracle-working business, isn't he? Now, it says that God made him to prosper. Now, I've established your relationship with God. Now we can talk about prosperity. Back to our key verse, which was 26:5 of 2 Chronicles. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So let's talk about prospering for just a moment. Now you say, wait a minute, I don't want to talk about spiritually. I want to talk about materially. We'll get to that. You be patient. All right, let's look at Genesis 39:3. Genesis 39:3. Who do you suppose we'll be talking about in 39 of Genesis? Who? Not what. Who? Joseph. That's right. I heard somebody whisper it back there. Joseph. 39:3. And his master saw that Jehovah was with him, and that Jehovah made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, we are talking about who? We're talking about Joseph. And Joseph has been sold as a slave by his brothers. They hated his guts. And at the age of 17, they threw him in a pit, and they were figuring out how they were going to kill him. And they saw a caravan coming, and so they said, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. They were on their way to Egypt. And so Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites. They took him to Egypt, and they sold him to the captain of the guard of Pharaoh, Potiphar. And it says this about his ministry at Potiphar's house as a slave. His master, i.e. Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord, Jehovah, made all that he did to prosper at his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. Wow. You say, that sounds great. Are you willing to be a slave first? Are you willing to be rejected by your family or by your loved ones? It might happen, right? Happened to Joseph. You see, Joseph wasn't blessed because of his great wisdom, though he apparently had a lot. He was blessed because he was willing to be where God put him to be. Now, if you are in an uncomfortable position at your work or in a home with unsaved people, you need to ask God for wisdom and guidance to serve the people that are not nice to you. Wow. It's not easy, is it? Think about it. Look back, if you would, to 24:56. Do you remember anything about 24 of Genesis? That's the story of Abraham sending his head servant to go find a wife for his son Isaac. And there's a verse that I love in this passage, and I don't even know where it's at the moment. But these are the words that he spoke. It's in verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forgotten his mercy and his truth toward my master. Talking about Abraham. As for me, being in the way, the Lord led me. Old King James says, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I want you to bury that verse in your brain and make it your theme. I, being in the Lord, or in the way, the Lord led me. You're looking for a house. You're looking for a car. You're looking for a wife. You're looking for a husband. You're looking for a college. You're looking for a job. Make sure that you are in the way of God so God can lead you and guide you and bless you with where and what he wants to give to you. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who stands not in the way of sinners, nor sits in the way of the scornful. But his delight is in the what? Law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then it goes on to say, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's that word again. So God made him to prosper spiritually. How about physically? You say, I'm sickly. I have this problem. I have that problem. First of all, did you pray for a miracle? Secondly, are you living the way you ought to? Thirdly, are you eating what you ought to? Are you sleeping like you ought to? There's a lot of things involved in health, isn't there? And young kids, they think they can live on soda and potato chips and pizza. So does the worst thing you can ever drink. We figured it out yesterday at the table, right, Matt? In a standard can, 12-ounce can of Mountain Dew, there was an eighth of it is sugar.
An eighth of a pound.
Yep, an eighth of a pound of sugar in one can of Mountain Dew. And I'm sure Coke and Pepsi are no different. And all the other things. Oh, do we like soda? Sure, but it's terrible for us. It's really bad for our health. And if you're drinking diet, look at the chemical they use to sweeten it with diet. Make it sugar-free, which is what they put in is worse than the sugar. Drink black coffee or water or tea, right? Yes, we like sweet stuff. But when you get to be a diabetic, you have to cut down on the sweet stuff. God is good. Oh, there's a reference, isn't there? 3 John. You say, where is that? Well, it's probably one page in your Bible. It's just before Jude. 3 John. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, if you live spiritually, as we looked at, then we can ask God to help us to live physically well and healthy. And then there's one last verse as we come to a close. You said, oh, good, he's done. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 and 2. We're going to get to prosperity yet before I close, right? Now, concerning the collection for the saints. In other words, consider the offering that you're going to take up for the saints. As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must also do. Did you see that nasty little word must there? On the first day of the week, that's Sunday, right? Let each one of you lay something aside, storing it up as he may prosper, or in proportion to how you prosper. This is talking about proportional giving. I know it doesn't say tenth or tithe, but it says in proportion. It's talking about some percentage that you and God have determined ahead of time you're going to lay up for an offering on Sunday. This is where we get the idea of passing the offering plate. Paul goes on to say that there be no collections when I come. In other words, you already got the money laid aside for God's work. Now, we kind of do it a little differently, don't we? We have love offerings when missionaries come or special speakers. But Paul didn't want a love offering when he came. He wanted the offering already ready. And it wasn't going to be for him. He was going to collect it and some of his buddies, and they were going to take it to Jerusalem for the needs of the Christians that were being persecuted and in famine over there in Jerusalem. So, interesting. He says, on the first day of the week, let us each one lay aside something, storing it up or putting it aside as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. And when I come, whomever you appoint by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But it's fitting that I go also, and they will go with me. How are we going to prosper materially? By putting God first. What was the course that we started out the service with this morning? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, based on a verse from Matthew, the words of Jesus. And then all these things, what are the things? Well, if you go to Matthew, you find out he's talking about shelter, food, and clothing, primarily food and clothing, that God says he'll provide. Now you say, I want to get rich. Well, pray hard and work hard. God's not going to make you rich. He's going to enable you to do what you ought to do so you will begin to accumulate. Saving is very, very important. have goals, but above all things, tithe, or give more than a tithe. Start out with a tithe, and then when you find out that God's helping you meet your needs, give him a little more and see what he's going to do then. You cannot outgive God. In a verse that I didn't share with you over in the Gospels, it said that with whatever measurement you give out, God will use that measurement to give it back to you, but many-fold. So if you give out by the teaspoon, you're going to get back lots of teaspoons full. If you use a shovel, God's going to use a bigger shovel and more shovels to give it back to you. You cannot outgive God. If you give away a bushel, God said, I'll give you 10 bushels back. You cannot outgive God. And you who have never tried tithing, take a big gulp, look over what you have, whether it's $10 bill or whether it's $100 bill or whatever you have, and say, God, I am going to trust you. Here's my tenth. And you'll find out that the 90% goes to cover the things that it took you the whole 10th to do before. Try it. Many of us have. We approve God, and he keeps on blessing.